eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Well, it's a very special episode of the Steering Committee podcast here with Doug Fogler. I'm Ryan Barkey, and we're here, and I hope you can hear over the music, but we're here at Brews Beers on their tasting room on Facts, Brews on Facts, which we talk about, and we're actually here
this
time.
We're always recommending. We're actually here recording an episode here. So,
look for you, Ryan. Didn't see you, but you got to have a day off once in a while, too, I suppose, right? So we're here. We just left the Porsche experience. Now, this isn't the Porsche experience, you know, say in L.A. or elsewhere, Atlanta. I think there's still one in Birmingham, Alabama, maybe.
Yeah, but some of the guys today were in the Birmingham one.
Yeah, this is sort of the traveling show. This is the, and so I think ostensibly it's to have us experience the new Taycan. Specifically, this is the new base Taycan, the rear-wheel drive. Yeah. But of course, also being Porsche, we also got to drive the new 992. And also the new, this is probably the car I was most excited to drive, the new GTS 4.0. This, of course, it's the traveling show, so they're all PDK. And I understand, but as always, Porsche put on a really great...
Yeah, it's still nice that they let us. They said it's important. Their customers ask us all the time whether they should... Someone should do the mid-engine GTS or a rear-engine 911. What should I do?
This is the kind of thing I want.
Back to back.
Exactly, exactly. And again, not just engine location, but this is the new GTS Cayman 4.0 with the naturally aspirated 6, sort of the detuned version of what's in my GT4.
Yeah,
it's not detuned by a whole hell of a lot. It does have a different character, which is interesting. We can talk about that.
Yeah,
and I was bowled over by the new 992. This is the first one that I've driven. This was a Carrera S with PDK.
Was it an S or was it just?
It was an S. Had the red calipers.
Okay, so it must have been debadged because it only said 911.
Or not debadged, but the 911 badge
just
option, 911 right?
Badge,
So. So it was, as always, Porsche always, does a great job. I mean, they know what they're doing. Nice little box lunch, some gifts at the end.
Yeah. I haven't figured out what that big gift is. I think it's like a fast charger.
Yeah, it's sort of a brick of...
Yeah, it's a USB branded charger with a flat plastic piece that I think you charge your phone with.
Well, I think the connection is it's electric, right? It's electric, so...
I'll be honest, I was hoping for a little Taycan model, maybe.
We were trying to figure out what it probably cost per head for each of these things, and I'm sure it's well into the thousands of dollars, because not only is there, nice lunch, there's the facility, there are all the cars that they have to get there, the big rig idling, nearby that brings them across the country, the staff of 8 or 9 people or whatever they had, including the instructors, the folks that sign you in, the detailers that clean the brake dust off between each session, and so this session, again, was not at a racetrack. It was just at the Broncos Stadium here in Denver. So cones and all that. But we got
like
to open it up.
Course.
Yeah, it was not a helmet type event, but it was awesome. And the people are all great. Met some really great people. I'm going to forget all of your names. Lou, I remember you.
Yeah,
your
Brian.
Name? Brian.
Yeah.
And several other nice folks.
And his wife
enthusiasts.
Was not from Germany.
No, I made the mistake. I heard an accent, and the noise of everything. I asked if she was from Germany.
For the record, I think she might be from Russia.
I put that together very quickly. Like she took it like an insult, but I get it. But just trying to make a conversation. But everyone was fantastic, and hope to cross paths with some of you guys again. It's nice to know that you all are out there. And Lou, thank you for your. You love your 2.0 Boxster. I've gone on the record on almost every episode saying about how this car, and Matt Farah just was on his podcast talking about how, these four-cylinder turbo Caymans are just so shockingly fast for what they are. So nice to hear another fan out there. But nice group of people, nice event, and now we're here. It was also like 94 degrees in the parking lot. But even that
we're
wasn't
out on
so
the
bad.
Black asphalt, which they had tents set up for us, which were definitely
No, it was, they did everything. anything they could.
It was definitely hot outside.
It could have been worse. It wasn't bad. And now we're in air-conditioned comfort here at Brews on Facts. I'm enjoying a nice, I think, Solange Blonde. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. I always walk up, especially now where you have to take the picture of the menu with your phone or the QR code, and then I feel like I'm on the hot seat and I have to make a quick decision. But I am not. I'm happy that I did get what
I got. So you felt like you had time to relax and sort of browse the menu when it was a physical item.
I think so. Now it's just, come on, you know, I'm 45 now, Doug. Yeah. It takes me 5 minutes just to figure out the QR code. But I got to say, the thing I thought was interesting, and I'll let you sort of set up what we had on offer, but I did have a flashback, and maybe you had the same thing. When you're a kid and you're at the amusement park and you want to get the right colored bumper car, you know, when you get to choose the Porsche, you know, I didn't want the pink Berry or whatever. I wanted the silver one or the white one, and then you kind of had to settle for it, you know. I wanted the silver one or the blue one. We had to settle for
that. Well, right. So what you're talking about here is that when it came time to do the
Taycan, like
the Taycan roller coaster is really what it was.
They were all lined up. Which car are you going
to
take?
Yeah, front to back, in a one long string line, and they had us just walk up to one, and there's a bit of a jockeying position as to which, just much like an amusement park, you know.
Sometimes it's just easier to
roller coaster. You want either be in the front car or the back car, and people are kind of. Yeah.
And the point is, here we are. I'm talking to another guy. We're deciding which wheels we like better. Like. It matters.
Not driving away with the thing for 20 minutes.
But it was great. So break but down what the setup was. We got there, we checked in, we had lunch.
Yeah, met we some had people. To register, so they knew how many people were coming. Then we were broken up into about four groups.
And thank you, Porsche of Colorado Springs, for sending the email about this. But and
thank you for inviting me as your guest. You. As the probably the only non-Porsche owner there.
Well, so, not for long, right?
Hopefully not. Yeah, and then they broke us down by colors. We were in different color groups, and then there was three stations.
Which confused me, because my card said orange, but the lanyard was red.
Might be a little colorblind. We were in the red group. three groups. They had an autocross station, which is where they had the 911 and the Cayman GTS 4.0 back-to-back.
They had a pretty spacious autocross setup. I mean, you were able to get it up to speed.
Well, it was one of the main parking lots in the Broncos stadium there, so it's pretty big, it's a large stadium. I've been in there.
Did you happen to catch your speed? I didn't even look down.
So. They had two different drivers there with you. One, the guy in the Cayman, John. There were two Johns, actually. Yeah. John in the Cayman was, I feel like, pretty laid back.
All real nice guys.
Yeah, real nice. He was laid back, kind of told you, just step on it, braking zone's down there, hit the brakes before you get there, and you'll be all good. And kind of let you kind of go on your own. The other John, give him a little more instruction. You know, feed it out, let go, brake now, that kind of thing. And I thought that was interesting. It's a little hard to keep up with the commands.
I just didn't want to get corrected. That was my... Oh. So I don't think anyone...
Like I did. I got scolded. Oh, well... Yeah, I took too much speed into the first corner with the 911, so...
Well, I don't think any of us were really pushing it at first. And then by the end, people were pushing a little more. I saw the tail end get kicked out a couple times.
I saw a little wiggle.
911,
And fortunately, I mean, even if I completely overcooked it, worst thing I would have happened is I would have picked up a few cones, probably. And there's a big runoff.
Or all of us sitting there at the end. Yeah. But And then so that was the first station,
and that's what we did first. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. Cayman GTS, man. I mean, that was the big.
You know, I was more excited to drive the Cayman GTS 4.0 just because it's, you know, I've now owned two of these 718 Caymans, and this one sort of slots somewhere in between, a little closer to the GT4, I suppose, just with the naturally aspirated engine. This was a lizard green, which I would never buy in a million years, but looked good among some of the other more toned down colors that were there.
Yeah.
The silvers and the blacks and the whites and the reds or whatever.
It seems like there's a lot of that lizard greens in the 4.0s, like in the press release. Yeah, well, I saw a lot of them in the magazine.
It's kind of a special car, I guess. I love these colors, and then at the end of the day, I buy silver and black cars, probably like a lot of people. And then there was this GT Silver 992 Carrera S that I was interested to drive. But I had never driven. Yeah, I never driven either, and I came away really loving the new 992.
I think interesting.
The interior is just so much nicer than the Cayman. I mean, it's even the GT4.
I would argue that I don't think it was that much nicer. It was nicer, and it's definitely new
less
tech.
Plastic. But that could have just been how it was spec'd.
New tech. I mean, it's obviously been redesigned more recently, but like I didn't necessarily feel that the quality was like. A significant step up.
So. I guess quality is not the right word, just maybe the level of, it's more of a luxury car. And I think on a hot day, it was nicer to drive, it was the nicer car to drive around in. You know, it would be the car that I would choose to go across the country in. But then at the end, but I would probably choose that Cayman 4.0 GTS for the weekend. Now, if the Cayman had the manual, we'd be the manual all the way. If either, I'd probably take either one in a manual.
Well, how about this? What if they're both manual? Which could be, man, you could option those that way.
It's they're so similar and yet they're so different. And I think part of it is just attracted to the silver. I mean, there's nothing better than a GT silver.
It's a great
whatever,
color,
right?
So, no, it's a great color.
What about you? What did you
think? Had satin gray wheels.
Yeah, it was really nice. Sharp.
Yeah. For me, it's the Cayman GTS all the way. And yeah. There's nothing wrong with the 911. If I'd gotten in that first, that would have been one of the nicer sports cars I've ever driven. But I'd already driven the GTS, and it was just so responsive. It was just telepathic in terms of just its like inputs into its turning, and just I felt comfortable in that right away. I didn't feel quite as comfortable in the 911.
I feel watching the cars, they seem to go around about the same speed.
Yeah.
But you know, the 992 of course has the twin turbo six. There's a little more punch. I think that it sounded shockingly good, but I still think the NA and the Cayman sounded better.
Yeah.
But
as we moved around to the different stations, you could constantly hear both cars kind of like as people were sort of accelerating out of the start.
Yeah,
the GTS sounded better, I have to say.
And I think it was probably right down the middle as far as you know, what people's preferences are. As far as who was there, my dad actually texted me. I sent him some pictures, and he said, you know, is this limited to Porsche owners? I was under the impression that for the most part, it was current Porsche owners. And some of, you know, I talked to someone that had just bought a new Cayenne. I mean, it's not necessarily even the sports car people, but anyway, I don't want to jump around too much, because then the other element was we got to take the new Taycan out.
Yeah, that was the other big event. So when we were done with our autocross portion, we basically moved us over, and like I said, it was a Taycan roller coaster. We all got in. We each had broken down into three cars each with a lead driver.
Yeah, our lead driver was in a Cayenne Turbo, I believe.
Turbo S e-hybrid.
So probably the most expensive and very quick Cayenne. Yeah. And sort of, I don't know if it was the crayon color or chalk or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the other group had a Macan S as a lead car. So
Our guy was a rather tall gentleman who you noticed had a Rolex Daytona.
Which I would be willing to bet maybe was earned, if you know what I mean.
There's a good chance that might have been earned, not bought. This could be from the stable of Porsche factory drivers, for all we know.
And he did a very good job of...
That was the neat part. They had he was on a radio. We all had radios in our cars, so he could kind of direct us. Because what he was doing was basically taking us out onto public roads, but to kind
of
test the car.
Traffic,
out. And he wanted us to stay together, but you know, just having someone kind of help you with there's no cars coming in from the left. You can go ahead and make this turn here. You're all good. So
lesson learned about how it's good to be, you know, and I don't want to say an aggressive driver, but an assertive driver. There were, you know, anytime you're trying, this is always the challenge when you have a rally or a group of people driving. You know, this was as well done as I've ever seen anyone lead something like that. So kudos to you, Stu, if you're listening.
Yeah.
And also very nice watch. But, I mean, Taycan's great. I mean, we've both ridden in the turbo. This is the first Taycan either one of us has driven.
Yeah.
So this, I think, was 380 horsepower versus the 5-something, right, of the turbo.
Yeah.
And I think the Turbo S might even have 620 or something.
I want to say it's more than 580.
Yeah.
The Turbo S is some extreme, absurd
number.
But
this was damn quick.
380, though, is a very good number.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's making more than 380. And, you know, but this had more of the normal tires, higher profile
in
tires.
The desert of Arizona when it's 100.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So, but
they would squirt for sure. We kept up with anything just driving around.
You felt like you were the fastest car anywhere on the road.
Well, and again, it's that instant power. You're not worrying about a shifter or whatever. But at the end of the day, the cars that I'm going to go to bed thinking about are the two sports cars.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think we both got out of the Taycan thinking this is an excellent day-to-day, daily driver, you know, your kind of car. If you need the four doors, if you need extra seats. I mean, and I loved it. I think that was actually, compared to even the Polestar that we drove long ago.
Better car than the Polestar.
This is a superior handling, better car.
Yeah. Well, it's also what? Not quite twice the price.
It's
similar power, though.
Yeah,
at least on paper.
Polestar has 400, but I think weighs a little bit more. And it's all-wheel drive.
I thought the Taycan felt a little quicker.
It just felt a little lighter on its feet.
A little better than
steering felt a little bit better. You know, it just felt more direct.
Polestar might be the better family car, though.
I don't know.
Maybe it just seems a little less precious.
That's true. It's true. The Polestar had a really nice interior, and I like that about it. But in terms of its like space and capacity and stuff like that, it wasn't terrific.
No.
And this is sort of in the same ballpark as that.
And then after we wrapped up, we sort of met back, and they had a 4S Taycan. It was just for display, but it was a exclusive manufacturer. I'm sure I'm messing that up, but color, or build. The color was not a PTS color, but it was one of those sort of step-up colors for $3,000.
Yeah.
So I think the metallics are $800. You know, like GT Silver even is another $800 to $1,200. This was sort of that middle ground, not quite a paint the simple, and it was called what blue? It wasn't like a denim blue. It wasn't that Smurfy blue. This was almost more of a dark.
Yeah, almost
called a dark
like
denim.
A little bit of a purple.
Yeah, and I can't remember. It was really sharp, but it was a flat color, not a shiny color, but a metallic.
But it was very striking, especially with the wheels. They had black and white wheels, white calipers, which is a little weird.
Well.
What was he saying about the brakes?
Had those mid-range. They're sort of like the what do you call them? The mild carbon brakes or the half carbon brakes or the white. I can't remember what they're called. They look a little odd because they're very smooth looking versus the steel or the carbon.
They almost look like they're like a Hollywood prop or something.
Yeah, they almost look like they're made
like this was a mock-up.
They made them on a 3D printer or something. But and going back to this, the Taycans we actually drove, and I think we've talked about this, and we could devote a whole episode to this, but how manufacturers will put the ugliest wheel designs on the cheaper models just to make you upgrade the wheels, if not the whole car.
Yeah.
And this was a perfect example. These were all base models, and don't get me wrong, there are some great base. I mean, some cars, I prefer the base wheel, but I feel like these were purposely made ugly.
Well, I thought that was also weird is that there was like...
And there were several styles.
There was four different versions of these base wheels, you know? Like,
one was uglier than the next.
I've never seen these on the other Taycans.
No.
These all look like they were specific to just this base
model. You can make
none of them were particularly
great. You can make a modestly sized wheel, like, attractive, and these were not them. But hey, I'm not complaining. It's interesting. How they do that. I mean, I get it. It's a business. But this 4S had a much more expensive looking wheel, let's say. The others almost look like wheel covers. I think that was my problem with them.
They were wheels, but they were almost like they had like big sort of round metal molds that almost
looked like something up like a 94 Cavalier Z24 or something.
Not great. That was the only thing. That was the only thing I didn't like about that. But I think that base. Base Taycan isn't around 100,000, maybe 100,000.
No, I don't think it's that much. I want to say it's 70 or 80. I could be wrong. We should check this. And so our numbers are
Steering committee, come here for the details and for the attention to detail.
All I know is I had a nice, delicious bruise beer in front of me.
I didn't get to say mine was the summer. The dog haze.
Dog haze.
As opposed to dog haze.
Yeah.
It's a variation of that.
Well, and if you've listened to the podcast, that Bruise is a sponsor, and we're a big fan. But we don't actually get to make it up here too often. In fact, the last time I was up here was when we actually spoke to Ryan Evans, the owner, and got to drive his Mini collection.
That's the last time.
Great day. Yeah. So
I've been here since then, but it's not very often though. So
yeah, don't you come and beg free beer?
I do. I brought some people here too. Ryan, I've also brought customers here and paid for my own beers.
Appreciate you and your beer. So thank you.
And everyone, we do. And everyone I brought here has been impressed. Yeah. Keep up the good work. So
I don't know. If this is going to be a full episode. We just wanted to.
It might be a mini episode. Yeah. We wanted to get some of our thoughts down on this experience. Before we forgot them. But what was your sort of takeaway?
I've done a couple of these before. It's been a few years. The last time I did something like this was actually at a racetrack where we had helmets on. I think that we went out on our own. I don't know that we had drivers with us for most of the cars, and so that was a little different. But this is, this isn't a parking lot. This was, I thought it did a great job. I know it was ostensibly to push the Taycan, the new base one. But I think as much as I enjoyed that in driving those in real world traffic, there's nothing better than driving a Porsche sports car.
Yeah. Porsche sports car with a little aggression.
My big surprise was how much I liked that 992. And I was kind of, I'll be honest, I was sort of wondering for about the same money, is this what I should have bought over the GT4, Doug? It was a car, I think I enjoyed driving it more, like in the city, I would enjoy driving it more in the city, just as a daily, but it did not seem as special as the GT4, say, for a weekend.
Certainly not.
Well, but I was really impressed.
You're in the unique position where many of the things that the new 911 would do better than your GT4 are a lot of the sort of day-to-day things.
Well, that's it.
You don't need any.
Perfect garage would be to have them both.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you had to drive somewhere every day, so this is a car you actually like relied on for transportation, then yeah.
It's a great looking car.
That'd be, you know, you can't see me, but my hands are doing the whole balancing scale thing.
Yeah, well, so. He is an attorney, and that is his profession's symbol,
it's a
right?
Bit of a, it's a little bit of a...
Justice and
Well, no, a little bit of a performance piece, you know, so... But since you are in the unique position where you can live with just a weekend car, the one that's totally special to get into, you should spend the same money on getting that car.
I think you're right.
But...
And this was a PDK, let's not forget.
Yeah.
So that just makes it an easier city car, right? An easier car to live with.
If I was... I mean, day to day, if I felt like I had to have it, you know, Porsche, I mean, PDK would be great.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you would be able to go and stop and go traffic and not worry about it, but then, like, have some fun with the paddles when you're driving around in the mountains, you know?
See, my problem is, and I guess I'd have to spend more time with it, when I get into PDK, I just keep it in drive. Like, that's the...
Well, it's technically probably the fastest way for most people to drive, because it actually... The computer will do the shifts better than you will. I mean, a professional driver will get more out of the paddles, but... It's more fun to play with them.
It is
more fun to take.
It's more fun
to sort of rev it out.
Well, that begets a question then, would you get a manual 992? And then
I would, yeah.
Well, I would too. If I had one, I'd probably get that, but yeah. What a great car with the PDK just for, if I had to go into work every day and I had a nice place to park, boy, that's the car. I wouldn't get an 8 Series BMW. I wouldn't get I would get the 911.
There's no reason to.
The 911
is awesome.
You're
not giving up anything in comfort.
No, I really... Yes, it is more of a GT car, I think, than even the 991, for better or worse. And again, that's why I say, not for a weekend car, but for everything else, give me that new 992. It's awesome. I love it.
There's a reason why people get into something like that, and they just don't get into anything more special, because it delivers so much.
But it is not as raw as the GT4.
No.
And I think that's why I didn't like the GTSs quite as much. Yes, it's an awesome car, and driven on its own, I think I would have liked it even more. But owning sort of the... better version in a way of that.
Yeah. Well, but how about this? Let me propose this to you. I mean, there's different driving experiences.
Yeah.
I mean, when you take out your GT4, it's an event.
And that's it.
You plan it out and you're like, it's an event. You haven't taken the GT4 to go grab
roasted chicken twice a month
at Whole Foods, right? To go grab dinner. You don't do that to go pick up like your daughter at camp or something like that. It's like, I'm going to go for a drive.
No, and
this car is going to go out and it's going to come back.
And it's not me being a jerk. Yeah. It's that.
But it's that event.
It's
sort of
3 inches off the ground.
Yeah.
It's harder to get in and out of. It's a manual. It doesn't have all the conveniences. I bought it because it's so simple. I bought it because there's no radar cruise control. I bought it because there's no crap. It is a simple car.
It was one of the most analog versions of that car you get.
There's nothing fancy in their car, except for Apple Play, I suppose.
So what I'm saying is, though, there is another whole sort of driving experience where sometimes you do want to go maybe for like a trip.
Right, more of a
weekend.
And you want to be
in like as much comfort as you can possibly be in.
I can't imagine a better car to, say, cruise up to Aspen in or something.
Well, for you and your family, it's almost like if your wife wanted to at some point trade in her car, that would almost be the thing to get. Would be, I don't know, like a PDK 911.
Like if you didn't have
for
kids.
Your family, way you don't have one kid, you have a lot of
stuff
to carry around. Though.
She's tall.
Elsa. Well, but that's more. That's
what
biggest,
the frunk is for.
That's the biggest. Yeah. That's the biggest. So is the rear seat's ever going to get is in a 991.
I don't think I would have done anything differently. And I think that obviously time will show that the GT cars, you know, the GT4 will hold its value better than just a regular new
992. Oh yeah, no, the 911 is a commodity. Yeah,
we've talked about this before. The only reason I feel like I can afford the GT4 is because I know that it. I mean, it's worth now more than when I bought it.
One cost that always associated with cars is depreciation. You're pretty much escaping.
In a non-G, as I learned with my Cayman, a non-GT car, as well as they do retain value, will just never, you know, if it's a value proposition, you got to go GT car. So, but I was really impressed with it. I guess, and the GTS was awesome too. Part of this is just, you know, there's a whole line of people. It's rushed. I would like to have spent the whole day with these cars.
Oh, yeah.
In 20 minutes behind the wheel
or
whatever.
It'd be best to just like loop through the autocross section and just keep going.
I would love to have
GTS,
just...
911 GTS.
And you know, you got a guy who presumably knows what he's doing in the passenger seat. You're trying to drive well enough, but you don't want to show off. You don't want to wreck it. You know, you just want to be... You don't want to scare them. You want to be... And I'm sure they've seen it all.
But and it takes time to get comfortable. It takes me a year with a car sometimes to really feel like I can go push it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not going to happen in a Saturday afternoon.
That's never talked about enough. Like, being with the car long term, it's like, that's where you have the attachment between like horse and rider. You know, you get to know it better. You get to know all of its little features, and you get more confidence as you have it. So
let me ask you: they had a new Adventurine Green base. With a whole lot of options on it, Boxster there. So Adventurine Green, it had like a brown interior, brown roof, but it was the 2.0.
Yeah.
It was also a PDK, and I would love to have driven that actually as well. And I don't know if they were rotating that in or what with the other cars, or if it was just to look at.
It was just there for eye candy.
But it was beautiful, and maybe, again, probably
it caught
not
everyone's attention because that color was very unusual.
Yeah, I think more people like that than the lizard green, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not usually that kind of lizard green kind of guy, but that one did.
Yeah, you're not a lizard green guy.
Yeah, I like green.
Neither am I.
I like emerald green. I like British racing.
Rooster green.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what that is. But.
Well, and that color on the Taycan, all I could think of is like, I want this on a GT4. That dark, flat, non-metallic blue. Again, I shouldn't say flat, it's still shiny. It's just a non-metallic, like a dark. Stonewashed denim on the not even stone, just a dark denim.
So like you can't see this.
If you were seeing
the trim here in the bruise, is actually
a little
similar,
touch of teal. Right? It was beautiful, and that's a car I would actually get as a paint to. Well, it wasn't even a paint to sample, but it was pretty. And I would love to have driven this 2.0 around the course, just to compare it with the 992 and the 4.0
and
came
the GTS.
In. Yeah, the GTS.
That's the one I'd be most. You know, because I assume it would feel different than the 911, but like I'd be very curious to see what the normally aspirated 4.0 engine versus a torquey, really punchy sort of 2.0 turbo, you know?
I bet
what we would have found is that the times are pretty good, or the times are similar.
Yeah. And the transmission, don't forget, really changes the tenor or the mood of a car, feel of a car.
You assume with the 2-liter turbo, but with the PDK, it is tuned optimally. When it's an automatic, you're getting probably perfect, I would think, sort of torque delivery.
I would think. But then again, I think it starts in second gear, and you've already got that complete lack of torque until 3,500 RPM or whatever. So I think I need another beer, and I think you need another beer. So let's take a quick break,
we'll be
back. So we're back. We've got beers. New beers.
New beer. Well, you have a new beer.
I've got the right-hand man, Pilsner. Kudos, Ryan.
What do you think?
It's very good. I think you're supposed to start lighter and go darker.
Yeah.
And when we were here with Ryan last, we had the expert tour guide, and we could try a little bit of everything. This is excellent. But it's so damn hot. I need something light. So this is a very good Pilsner.
That's probably a good call. I haven't necessarily violated that rule. I just I went dark and I've stayed dark.
Yeah.
I've not gone any lighter from where I was. I just stayed exactly in the same place.
You know, I'm not a big IPA or hoppy guy, except for when I am. And every once in a while, I'll just get a craving for it.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with brews. I mean, again, I don't want to. I know they're a sponsor, but I don't make it in that often. Yeah. The place is, everything about this place is perfectly, executed, and the people are always great, the space is great, and the beer is great. So,
So
kudos,
check it out.
Kudos, Ryan, thank you, and thank you for your continuing support. All right, so we kind of laid the groundwork. It was a cool event.
Yeah.
When I go to these things, the whole time I'm like, how do I do this? I want to do this.
I want to do this for a living. Of course,
I don't care.
How do I get a Rolex Daytona watch on my wrist?
Well, I think you have to win the Daytona 24,
whatever.
I wanted to Semantics. Ask him to. You know it was, but then what if it wasn't? What if he's just like, oh, no, I just bought this at the mall?
Well, that's the thing. So what you would do in that case is you don't ask about the watch, you ask about what he does.
Yes,
for Porsche.
Yes.
If he's a race car driver, he'll tell you, obviously.
Well, and it's so funny because you sit down and immediately. If you're into cars, a lot of times you're into watches, So we're all cut from the same cloth a lot. At the same time, though, a very diverse group.
Yeah.
A very diverse group. I'm always surprised when I go to these things that it is not your... I mean, you and I probably fall into your usual, douchebag white guy, 40-something-year-old, driving a Porsche, trying to make up for something, whatever. But it's not that at all.
Does that mean I'm a douchebag driving a Subaru? I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I'm joking.
Brian, just so you know, I don't think of you necessarily as a douchebag.
Some people do, Doug. So, but,
I mean, not necessarily.
No, it's just I'm always surprised that they're always, it's always just a more diverse group. Women and, not just white guys. It's a really good group. And everyone's always super cool, and it's just I'm always surprised at what a it's. Yeah, I guess even I have an idea of what I think someone who drives these cars is, and it's not that at all, and it's kind of nice. And everyone's always super cool, and a lot of times people are into watches, you know, and or a lot of times people are into the same sorts of things. It's just, I don't know what it is, mechanical stuff, or...
It's mechanical analog stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're into that, Porsche is one of the ultimate... Porsche is kind of like the Rolex of car manufacturers in some ways.
Farah,
and yeah,
just said it, you know, he was talking about matching watches to cars in his last episode.
Yeah. And I think, because it, and it's about to get really interesting as we move into the future, because we all love these watches that are these very analog, you know, with machine parts and digital like movement. Even though like digital watches from 30 years ago have always been more precise.
Yeah, it's the same. We had a whole episode about this, didn't we?
Know,
we tried.
My point being is that like, you know, cars are about to go through the same thing. The electric cars are going to, in many ways, be better and do things better and be a better product in some ways. And we will always, always, our generation will always still default back to the mechanical hardware of like an internal combustion engine.
They had a table set up. And let's just set the stage here. These are small groups, right? I mean, I think there were, we had four groups of two in our group, and there was another group that came in after, right? Mm-hmm. They had a, apparently there's a new Porsche watch line, and again, shout out to my dad who sent me a link while we were there. They had them out on a table, and I wanted to go see it, and by the time we wrapped up, they were gone. They were wrapping up too. They must have started at 9 this morning or something.
Well, they moved us around too quickly, and then I was like, my plan was to stop by that desk afterwards.
Yeah,
and check
I don't know anything about them. They could have been wonderful.
I was going to buy that cell phone case for the...
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was like kind of interested
but
in that.
Maybe they would have given you one. I don't know. You know, you just got to drop that you're on the steering committee, and you know,
I should.
Cell phone case, I probably would have.
It was like a martini livery.
Oh, that would have been amazing. I didn't. You know, when you show up to these things, you just want to get there on time. You want to make sure you're doing everything right. And I didn't. And it was so hot, we were all just trying to find shade. But
that's true too.
Did we determine you would take the 4.0?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. See, I still, even though I've owned now one 911 and two Caymans, I still think the 911. Most generations is a better looking car. I suppose you could go back to the 996 and the 986 at the time, and I think that was probably a better looking car than the 911, but once the 997 hit, and to me that's sort of always my favorite 911.
Yeah.
But the 991 as well, and now to the 992, I think are better looking cars than the Caymans. But so like what do I buy?
So a 992 or a 991, 911 versus a 718 generation.
Yeah, seeing the two cars today next to each other, the 718. Now, and this was a top-of-the-line non-GT Cayman.
Yeah.
So it had the great-looking wheels and probably performance pretty similar, I would suppose.
I would think,
But I, at the end of the day, I think the 911 is the better.
The 4.0 GTS is nipping at the heels of the Carrera S.
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, just in casually watching the... Yeah. I feel like it's just interesting. Again, people, some of these people own one of these cars or a version or an older one or a prospective buyer. Just even watching, did you notice that it seemed like people were punching the 911 down the straights, but everyone was being very cautious in the corners in the 911, or most of them were. I feel like people automatically felt more comfortable in the Cayman. And I feel like they probably had similar speeds, but people were carrying more speed in the corners when they came in just immediately.
Yeah.
And the 911, despite it being a very benign car compared to, say, maybe older ones, I don't know if it's psychological or whatever. People still feel like they have to. And you do. You have to, you know, it's sort of early brake, early gas versus the Cayman, where it's sort of late brake, later, you know, you carry the speed.
Obviously, I can't speak for everyone else, but that was my experience. I felt immediately comfortable going, and I might not have been going faster, but I felt immediately more comfortable in the Cayman.
Yeah.
Diving into the corner, braking hard, just chucking it in. Whereas the 911, I never felt like I got into a great rhythm with it.
I think that this new gen 911, now I'm a big guy, I'm 6'3 and like 250 pounds. The Cayman is probably a little small for me, I'll admit, but I love it. And I did appreciate the little more room in the 911. And this is really the first generation 911 where I felt like it was appreciably bigger than the equivalent or the contemporary Cayman.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just, and I've always liked the extra glass of the 911 too, and just, I think,
more visibility,
more safety, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes driving more interesting, makes driving more enjoyable.
Yeah, and now on paper, this Carrera S would have been a little more expensive, I think. I'm guessing that the 911, now it had some or I'm sorry, the Cayman with the lizard green is probably a, probably a six-figure car.
A GTS starts at about $86,000.
This is probably closer to 100 with the
I'm guessing it's at least $90,000, $95,000. Probably
this, talking about a $101,000 Carrera S. And I'm guessing this 992 Carrera S, you thought was how much?
$101,000, $102,000, somewhere in that.
I think the S is, even starts at what, at 120 or 130 now.
Carrera,
so
$100,000-ish.
Yeah, I want to say that a base 911 would be priced very close to that Cayman GTS 4.0. And now that's a different... Now maybe I'd go with the Cayman. I don't know. I haven't...
When you think about that, I feel like that's a
big
difference.
You can't go wrong, people. You can't go wrong. Whatever you do,
it's... If you're not worried about space and extra seats, then I think it's Cayman GTS all day long. You know?
I felt really good in the 992, though. It just felt like me. And maybe it was just the color. Maybe it was the GT Silver versus the Lizard Green. But anyway, you can't go wrong with either of those cars. I love the wheels on the Cayman GTS 4.0. Yeah.
They're great-looking shape.
Those are really... They look like the old Spider wheels. They're really... really good. And that does seem like it seemed a little more special than the 992, and I don't...
Because it's almost the ultimate version of the Cayman.
Yeah, and then that's the
whereas, like, it's a relatively entry-level 911, which is... And it shows that the company still struggles with that sort of problem they have, which is, like, the 911 is a treasured product, and what to do with it. The 911, I mean... Whatever, I'm not the first to say this, but, I mean, they keep talking about, like, they're not going to bring a 928 back.
I'm just telling Doug not to bang the table.
They don't have to because
with our high-tech recording set up here.
That's it. You think I'm Italian the way I talk with my hands. I'm Irish. That's the same thing, right? So, but like, they don't have to bring the 928 back because the 911 does everything the 928 used to do. And still does everything.
Well,
It really does both.
So. A lot of people have made the argument that the current Cayman is sort of like the spiritual successor to the original 911.
Yeah, it's like a G-body. It's the size of a G-body 911, if not even a little bigger.
I think the original spirit of the 911 died with the 997, in a way. Yes and no.
No, I think I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. Yeah. I think the 997 might have been the last great sports car 911.
You know, well, and
do you see the distinction? I mean,
I do. Yeah. And much like my stock picks of late, I seem to sell my Porsches at the wrong time. That's what I do. So I'm really hoping this GT4 will come through for me.
I think you're doing well with the GT4.
And I really hope, Doug, you were such a good salesperson today. You were shilling the podcast, pawning off.
While you were telling other people to check out other podcasts, I was trying to tell people to check out our podcast.
Yeah, I was really building
first.
up Spike's Car Radio today. But I got to spread the love.
We do. We're fans of other podcasts.
But Porsche, I mean, man, you're doing it right. You know, when you do an event like this, not everyone does it right. You know, we've been to events from other manufacturers and things, and they're not all like this. Much like, you know, the cars itself, you know, they do. It's a no excuses company, and really admire the firm and just how they do business and their products and their people, and hope that we can drive more moving forward. So
I will always accept.
We didn't work that angle today, Doug. This is strictly like we came in just as consumers.
We were very under the radar.
You come in
as a well-heeled Porsche customer.
Well-heeled, maybe not, but
well-heeled, well-leveraged, whatever.
Leveraged. No.
Yeah, but you were right there with everybody else. Everyone else in our group was like buying something in the $70,000 to $100,000 range, you know.
And we did this quick straw poll of what the other people there were driving. Yeah. And I mentioned, Lou, you have a 2020 Boxster. Yeah. Didn't find out if that was a PDK or manual. There was another couple.
He's old school, I'm guessing it's manual.
Yeah, no, he's a good dude. And the couple where she had just bought a new Cayenne, I presume base, but I don't know. Did she say it was different? I mean,
I don't remember what she said.
Yeah, but it was a new Cayenne.
It was a non-turbo, but it might have been a GTS or an S.
New Cayenne, so kudos to you. Yeah. There was another guy who apparently has a Corvette set up for drag racing. Maybe, I don't know what his connection was. But,
those two guys, there was a couple, a man and a woman.
Yeah.
He had a Corvette tattoo.
Oh, I missed that.
On his arm and a Cadillac.
And they may be listening. And I think they rolled in a Tesla.
They might have. Yeah. They were getting on it.
By the way,
I feel like they were one of the more aggressive sort of pairings that were out there
now,
on the course.
Now, we didn't park in the correct... We came in from a different direction, so we didn't park in the lot that a lot of the other people parked in, so we didn't really get to take a
well, that's why no one got to make fun of my
a parking lot survey. No, but it's... Well, that's the thing I like about Porsche. There's very little attitude. You know, there's none of that... And I'm not digging on any particular model. But Porsche people are, for the most part, very friendly, very friendlier and more accommodating than me. I mean, I don't know how many times we've been at an event or run into someone and they, you know, oh, you've got the new GT4 or you've got the bucket seats. Would you mind if I sat in those just to make sure I can fit kind of thing? And everyone's always accommodating. People are always super cool. I think for car people, Porsche people are kind of where it's at. And, you know, when you buy into a brand, that's part of it, right? I don't know that I'd feel comfortable at a Lamborghini event necessarily, you know?
Assuming money was no object, I could buy any car I don't want to. I've thought about this a lot. I might, even if I could buy everything, I could afford everything. There's actually, Porsche not only is developing sometimes the best product and more fun car to drive, and it's a car that has a car company with an ethos of like all about driving. But it's also like, it has this giant fringe benefit over here of just like the community. Because it is like, there's a lot of them out there. They're big enough where it's like you're going to run into other like-minded people. So if you're into cars, you're into the car culture.
Yeah.
Getting into the Porsche world is fun because you can talk to other people who are just as excited about the Porsche as you are.
And I will say, most of these people use their cars. They do take them on trips. I've never been that kind of driver because for me, these cars have always been a bit of a stretch. They've always been an investment. I've always wanted to keep them as a special weekend thing, right? I've always sort of elevated these cars, put them up on a pedestal. But for as many people as there are like me, there's many people out there who are actually driving. They're driving them in the winter. They're taking them on trips. Yeah. And I do think that that's somewhat unique in sort of the high-end sports car world.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. No, because the Porsche, there's almost never a compromise. It's oftentimes the best handling car and also the one that's the easiest to go on a long road trip with. They're just they make a very good product.
Yeah. There's not a bad Porsche out there right now.
Not really, no.
There really isn't. There really isn't. And what a diverse, like, I mean, everything from 2.0 turbos to naturally aspirated V8s to twin turbo V8s to flat sixes to twin turbo V6s. I mean, I guess it's four, there are no 10s or 12s, but within the 4, 6, and 8 cylinder range, you got a lot of different engines, and I think they're going to get away from that moving forward. I think they're trying to standardize a little bit more, for better or worse. But and of course now the electrics. But
we don't know what the future has in hold. I think Porsche will be one of the last companies building an internal combustion engine.
And manual.
Yeah, and manuals. So. They're one of the few companies still like putting in research and development into it. When are we going to have an electric car with a manual transmission? And will that even
I
want to
talk about that. I was going to we're at 40 minutes. This is not a mini podcast. It's
not anymore. This is going to be at least a regular
episode. Yeah, so we'll be back. And we're back. We did not get a new beer this time.
Yeah, we're being responsible. One of us has to at least drive home. So.
Yeah.
We left you kind of on the cliffhanger of like, what is it like with a manual transmission and an electric drivetrain? Will that even work?
As far as I know... So the most electric cars, as I understand it, again, we've been begrudgingly accepting. Like, we're not, like, I wouldn't say we're old school necessarily, but we like our gas powered cars, right? Not against the electric stuff, but I think we both agree there's something lost in sort of translation there.
Yeah.
Although the Porsche does a very good job. I think most electric cars, right, like Teslas, are a single speed car, right? I believe that the Taycan is
like one gear, basically.
Right, a one gear, sort of one ratio. The Taycan, I believe, is two, I think across the board, but I don't think you even dip into that second gear until like 100 miles an hour or something, right?
And I noticed on our base Taycans had a sticker on the left that said top speed was about 120.
No, that was probably tire limited. Probably has all season tires. I've gotten into some motors. We were talking over the break. We were trying to decide if there was ever an electric car. I'm guessing in the 70s there were probably electric cars you could shift yourselves. And I'm sure that there have been. You remember some of those weird wedge shaped things you'd see driving around when you were a kid.
That's true. Some of the stuff were cobbled together. In sheds.
And I'm guessing there have been some cars that have been converted to electric, even old 911s. But I don't know. This is something I don't know. And I'm wondering if you could. Is that what we're missing? Is it not necessarily the combustion? Is it the manual? And think about how you shift for the corner. How you know,
I guess
the electrics have that flat torque, so it doesn't require.
So how cerebral do you want to get with this?
Not very, because I'm.
All right. Well, I'll try and keep this
couple beers in.
I'll try and dumb this down for you then. But I mean, we love. The internal combustion as a power source is almost like a horrible way to move a car down the road.
It's pretty primitive.
It's in some ways primitive.
Yeah.
I think what you and I appreciate about some of the highest versions of these cars is like is taking this terrible idea and executing it brilliantly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're sort of involved with the whole thing.
And, well, and that's
interrupt, like it has like a, it seems like it has like its own like sort of like personality.
You know? Isn't Porsche developing a some sort of fake fuel that is supposed
they
to
are,
be.
I've heard,
I don't know if that can be run in the old cars or
that would have been
in future cars.
That might have been a question we should have asked that guy who was the product specialist.
I know,
all he wanted to talk about was the tech on.
See, I feel like that guy knew more, but he was just probably like, hey, this weekend you got to take these idiots out at the, you know.
Well,
the,
he's dealing with this continuum of people. I like that idea and I'm on board with it, except I just don't want it to be like, I don't want it to be like so expensive that you have to buy the fuel from Porsche and so it becomes prohibitive, you know?
You gotta go to the dealer to fill up.
Yeah, I need it to be reasonable. I'm willing to pay a price for it, but it needs to be like, this has to be attainable, you know, still. But like, you know, we are at an interesting point right now. We are, the switch over to electric will come quicker than most people expect because right now, manufacturers...
It's already happening more quickly than I expected.
And the point is, manufacturers are going to, like... They're going to put the resources to research and development towards it, so it'll happen quicker. The closest thing I can sort of equate this to is when the militaries of the world switched over from propeller-driven fighter planes to jet-powered, it was almost overnight.
Yeah.
The First World Air Forces had a propeller plane...
Well, there's still B-52s out there, aren't there?
B-52 is jet-powered, man.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought...
Yes.
All right, one of us stays up late at night watching World War II documentaries on YouTube, and the other is only getting started.
So to give a quick history lesson, jet-powered planes were available in World War II at the
very
end.
No, I remember that, yeah.
And the Germans had...
I don't remember that, Doug.
Yeah. But,
so I've read.
How old are you?
Well, I'm 103.
The Germans had...
So I feel like sometimes.
The Germans introduced two different planes, and I can't remember, there was a smaller interceptor, but then the ME-262...
And by the Germans, we mean the but yeah, yeah.
Well, yes, the German Luftwaffe. And then English had a jet plane by the end of World War II, and then by 1946, America and England had switched over to jet.
Yeah.
And the propeller driven planes were relegated to second and third class air forces right away.
Yeah.
Instantly. So the P-51 is almost like the ultimate expression of a piston driven aircraft.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's like, it doesn't matter, move on to the next
thing.
No, we're going to be there soon.
I was reading about the North Korean Air Force recently, and I do feel like half of their Air Force might still be prop driven, but I could be wrong.
Well,
Turkmenistan, certainly there's got to be someone out there using... Well, don't they use like transport planes that are still...
Yeah, okay. So fighter planes.
Fighter planes specifically,
are different.
Okay.
Many air
forces...
Of course,
we still have the USS Constitution as a naval... vessel, right?
Okay, technically it's a flagged U.S. naval vessel, but it's for historical purposes. What they've discovered since then is that, the Hercules C-130 is a transport plane that the military still uses. It's four propeller-driven planes.
And they've been around since the
50s?
Forever. Okay.
Yeah, like late 50s, Vietnam era.
And they spit out like a ton of crap. You see them in the...
I don't know how deep you want to get into this Air Force thing, but like a propeller-driven plane has
certain
advantages.
Our mini podcast has now turned into 50 minutes. So
we're at 46 minutes.
46 minutes, okay.
But like a propeller-driven plane can take off from an unimproved airfield, not having to have like jet engines sucking in dirt and rocks.
Okay,
they can do
that's
it on,
the reason.
They can do it on a short, like on a short aircraft.
Okay.
They can. There's some reasons why I might want it for other reasons.
Yeah.
No one has, for 45 years, has had a propeller-driven fighter plane in their Air Force.
I see. Okay.
So. Because that's all about performance.
Yeah.
They also have some propeller-driven planes that do other roles besides being a
pilot. Got it. But if for combat, I don't want to go way off.
Yeah. But my point is that it's switched over that quickly,
right?
And it could be that way with electric cars.
I see. So back to our original question of what would a manual transmission electric car, or is that just not a thing because of the way the torque curve is? I don't know, and this is. Again,
I don't know. I almost feel like that it's going to be one of those things where like they might have to like engineer it to make it work.
Yeah.
But, like it'll be like
you could do it.
Yeah, but you don't need it. It'll be like they'll do it. You know.
Right.
But will we want that though?
I don't know. I don't know what to make of the world anymore, Doug.
I mean, what about going forward? What if we still had like your 2 liter engine that was gas powered,
right?
Like a gasoline electric hybrid,
right?
But you still had to use a transmission to kind of like get the most out of the engine,
yeah.
But it's being supplemented by like electric motors that are giving it more range and more power.
There's all sorts of in between too. There's the Sportmatic transmission that Porsche had for a while, in the 70s, right? It was a clutchless manual. Of course, there's sequential manuals. There are a fully
that's true
sort of manual transmission electric car is something I'd certainly like to give a go.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I guess we'll see that.
I think I'm nearing the end of my knowledge here, Doug.
Might be a depressive.
Yes, I'm one of those flat earthers who I'm at the edge. I'm seeing the Truman Show, and I'm seeing that painted wall at the end. This is sort of. I have to circle back to what I know.
In the car world, we're flat earth people. But I'll tell you though, I had an idea about electric cars that you were kind of into when we were driving around in the Taycan. Is that why not be able to dip into the catalog of sounds?
This is a great idea. All right. Yeah. And you are an attorney.
Yeah.
So say whatever you need to do now to lock this in as your idea. Can you do that? Or do you have to...
My idea...
You used to be able to send... If you had a patent idea, you used to be able to send yourself a letter. But those days are numbered.
I know patent attorneys. I'll get this patented. I would start a company right now that can make that engine sound like a internal combustion engine.
It would take nothing.
Coming through the speakers.
Yeah.
And so you feel like you're driving like a 917 Le Mans... Porsche, when you're driving your Taycan.
Well, when we were driving these Taycans today, we both noticed that they basically set them up to make them as close to a normal car, quote unquote, as a good. So they turned off the Jetson sound effects.
Yeah.
They turned off the radar cruise control. They turned off the regenerative braking, I think. Or it was so naturalistic that it felt okay. But I could see.
Yeah, there's no sound.
Yeah.
Why not have like a little Le Mans soundtrack as you're driving down the road? That would be great.
For your
morning commute, wake you up a little bit.
Yeah. Sorry, I was distracted by the music here. You know what this is?
Was this Tribe Called Quest?
It is, and it's their last album. And shout out to Tracy Jones if you're listening, who I think this is officially the last pirated bootlegged album I was given. I dig this. This is a good.
It's a good song. I like Tribe Called Quest. Yeah.
I don't know. What else do we have to say before we wrap this up?
Not much. Just
it was a good day.
It was a good day.
It was a good day. It wasn't quite a day on the track or whatever, but this was good. This was a very good day. So thank you, Porsche.
Yeah.
Thank you, all the folks, nice folks we met today. If you happen to tune in, we appreciate that. We appreciate your downloads. Please spread the word, and we're always looking for good guests too. Yeah. So you want to call it a day? Call it a wrap. Let's finish up some beer.
Our new sign off is keep it shiny side up.
Keep it shiny side up, and until next time, keep your feet on the ground. Keep reaching for the stars. Until next time, thank you.